It's a very touchy subject in the society we live in. And I pray that, please, you'd help us to think scripturally about it and not fleshly. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've heard a group of poor people sing, "I'm satisfied with Jesus." But I've never heard a group of millionaires say, "I'm satisfied with money." One out of every six verses in the New Testament mentions the right or wrong use of possessions. Now, keep in mind something. That means 1/6 of the Bible is on possessions and money. One out of every six verses. Now, that's an awful lot. You know how the Bible says you're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God? One pastor, I think I told you, talked to her about money, said, you know, if one out of every six verses is on possessions and money in the Bible, he said, then if you were preaching one out of every six sermons on money, you wouldn't be preaching it too much. Now, that's kind of interesting. I know there's more in the Bible than money. But for somebody to say you're preaching too much on money, check the sermon file first. See if they're preaching that average, and then you can see if they're preaching too much on money. God has an awful lot to say about it. This isn't a tiny subject. This is a big subject. Okay, here we go. Look at this. The most pathetic people in the world are those who have everything to live with but nothing to live for. Adversity makes men. Hard times make men. And prosperity makes monsters. You can't take your money with you, but you can send it on ahead. No one is so poor as the one who has nothing but money. Charity gives itself rich. Covetousness hoards itself poor. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who does that. Now, if you give to the right thing, then you get to keep it. People say, "I'll go to church as long as I don't have to hear about money." That's a big statement nowadays as far as how do you choose a church? I'll go to the church that doesn't preach on money. Careful, wait a second. For this to be so, they would have to go to a church with a disobedient pastor. One that would rather be thought of as a nice guy than have the critics say that's a money-grabbing preacher. The Bible plainly tells the pastor, and look at the next verse here. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Charge them, that means preach it, okay? That are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, watch this, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God says when He's teaching a pastor, He says, you teach those people how to be rich for heaven. You do that or you're a bad pastor. If you can find a pastor that will leave money alone, you found a disobedient man of God. He is plainly told, you teach those people to give so that they'll have treasures for themselves up in heaven. You teach those people that. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, and it says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." In other words, you reap according to how you sow. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God," here we go, "loveth a cheerful giver." And some of you have been in church a little bit, you've heard that word cheerful means hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. type of giver. A guy that looks forward, watch this, that enjoys, I mean, it just makes the day to give. God says, I love that. Now, here's what my purpose of teaching a Bible lesson like this is. Hopefully, by the end, if your thinking is wrong on money, you can't give happily. If your thinking is, it's my hard-earned money, I worked hard to get it, and I can't believe the church is after it, too. I come here to relax, I get pressure in the world, and then I come to church, and then all they want is my money. That guy isn't going to put anything in the plate happily and go, he's not going to do that. His attitude when the plate is passed is going to be, "I thought it was my money, man. It's my money. What's my money, man? My money. It's my money, money. It's my money, man." That's not a cheerful giver. Listen, my goal
is when we're done, for you to be able to give happily and be a cheerful giver.
How could King David say this about giving? And watch what he says. He's collecting things so his son Solomon can build the temple. He wants Solomon. God already told him, you're a man of war. You shed blood. You killed an innocent man. You killed Uriah. You've done that. You may not build a house for me, but your son will, Solomon. So here's King David. He says, I want my son to build a big house. He said, y'all bring your gold. He didn't say y'all. He said, y'all bring your gold and your silver and all the things that my son Solomon, as soon as I die, he can start building the temple. This is his response to their giving. And watch what happens now that we got the mood set. Watch what King David says. He says here, oh, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Watch this, majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. He's just praising the Lord right now. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Then watch what he says. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. David was a cheerful giver. This is what he said. God, you made it all. God, who are we? This is so humbling to be able to give this. I would say King David had the right attitude towards giving. He said, God, he said this. He's humbled. He's praising the Lord over all that they get to give. Thank you, God, that we can give this. Now, this is the best scriptural definition of a cheerful giver I could find in the Bible. This is the best picture of it, and I'd like to, Brother Dooley, both of you have a lesson. Can you give one to the Odoms back there? They don't have one. There we go. Okay, here we go. All right. What you need to understand is some basic definitions of some things, scripturally. And you're going to find this all through the Bible. But first thing we want to look at is the tithe. Tithe is, or the tithe, okay, however you pronounce it. If your emphasis is on the wrong syllable, you'll say it wrong, okay? Aha. All right, so the tithe is what you want to look at here. Watch this. Tithe means the tenth part of anything. That's what tithe means. Tenth. So tithe is in the Bible, and I just wanted to show you the first place it's mentioned, Genesis 14:20. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. It's talking about Abraham. Abraham tithed before there was a Bible. You know what I'm saying? Before God gave the Bible. Abraham didn't have the scriptures to look at. In the Bible, a tenth, or the tithe, was the smallest portion ever given. Anytime anybody gave anything, the smallest you gave was a tithe. It's just whack off 10%, and that's what you give. But it's amazing to me, Abraham knew to tithe before the law, the Ten Commandments, were given. A lot of people saying, oh, tithing, it's of the law. We're Christians now under grace, and we don't have to do that anymore. Careful. Abraham tithed before the law. There's another person. Look at Genesis 28:22. This stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's Jacob talking. Jacob tithed before the commandments and law were ever given. When somebody tells me you don't have to tithe, that was in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament now. I always say, wait a second. They were tithing before there were any such thing called the Scriptures. They were tithing before the law, and guess what? We're after the law, and we're still supposed to tithe, okay? Let's keep on going here. The word tithe, Leviticus 27:32, concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Okay, and I put down in your notes, how did Abraham or Jacob know to tithe when he didn't have a Bible? It's because God told him what to give. Okay, all right, here we go. Let's keep on. Now, there's a tithe, and then there is such a thing called an offering, and they're not the same. What helps is if you understand the definition of an offering is, here we go, to present as an act of worship Okay? That's what the word offering means. Look at the definition B there. Presented to God as an atonement for sin. We no longer have to do that. But look at the last part of that definition. Or as a return of thanks for His favors. Now, watch this. In just a little bit, I'm going to show you. But you give the tithe because God told you to. Now, I'm going to cover that with you here in just a second. But you give the tithe because it's commanded. You give an offering or above the tithe out of thankfulness. And whatever that offering is supposed to be in proportion to your thankfulness. The offering is what you give above 10%. You made 10 bucks last week, you give a buck, and then you say, I want to give an offering of 50 cents or another buck. Okay, whatever. Okay, but that's out of thankfulness to God for His service. Okay, let's keep on going here. Let's keep on going and looking at words here. Now, I want to settle something here in the day and age we live. God says, at the top of the next page, God says, bring it to the storehouse. You say, why are you going to cover this? Because we live in a TV radio age where people listen to a lot of TV, they listen to a lot of radio, and then the people on the TV and radio always say, send your money. Send your money. And they get the idea, if I give to anybody that's got a Christian name to it, I'm tithing. And I'm not, now watch, there are things I would, okay, when Jerry Lewis Telethon comes to my house, okay, can I tell you what I do? I'm never meaner. Most of the time I'm never mean or unkind, okay? Okay, but this, not with them, okay? But when Jerry Lewis Telethon comes to my house and they say, we'd like you to give to the telethon, I think, okay, what could I give then? And then I give it to my church. Because my church will do more for helping children with our bus ministry than the Jerry Lewis Telethon does. Have you ever read the statistics on how much of that multi-million actually goes to research? Do you know what the rest of it paid for? Okay, now I'm not trying to bust anybody's bubble. I'm just saying when Jerry Lewis comes to my house, I think, what could I give? And then I give it to my church. Because my church will do more with that money to help children than Jerry Lewis will. Okay? Now wait. Me giving to charity, whatever charitable, I'm not, if you give to Jerry Lewis, God bless you. I mean, if you got automatic deduction out of your paycheck, you know what I mean? God bless you. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, many people when they give to charity, they think, I tithed. I gave to something that could not give it back to me. And the God says that is not true. The storehouse or where the tithe goes is specifically pointed out in the Bible as the church. Let me show you that. God says, 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So God says, lay up in store. That's the storehouse. Lay it up in store. Then, where is the storehouse? 2 Chronicles 31:10 defines the storehouse. And watch this, if you'll read it along with me. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, watch this, since the people began to bring the offerings into where? What's it say? The house of the Lord. Since the people started bringing their offerings to the house of the Lord, then watch what it says next. We have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed His people. And then watch this. That which is left is this great store or storehouse. We now have a storehouse. In the Bible, the house of the Lord is the storehouse. That's why I'm not against giving to, good grief, I'm not saying this to offend anybody, give to charity. Just have a ball, okay? But don't count your giving as tithing. The tithe, 10% of what you made, goes to the house of the Lord. It wasn't when you sent your seed money in, or TV guy said, for a simple donation of $10, you can get the free book and call now and we'll also add this free video. Whatever it was, that's not tithing. That's giving to charity. And in the day and age we live in, people go, okay, man, there's so much for me to give to. Where do I give it? Give your tithe to the storehouse. Give your tithe to the storehouse. That's taught in the Bible. Let's keep on going here. God uses this to pay His priests. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Numbers 18:21 says, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance. for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. So when you tithe, God says He uses that to keep the house of the Lord going. Somebody's got to pay the light bill. At the end of church service tonight, we're going to pass the offering plate. Your tithe in there is what pays the electric bill. It pays the salaries of the priests. That's what the Bible says it's supposed to be used for. That's scriptural. Okay? It's used to... Somebody's got to put gas in the buses. Somebody's got... Something has to pay for that. And God says the tithe is used to keep the house of the Lord running. Now that helps. Because what do they do with all that money? Those tracts out there, we have those printed. It's about $300 for every 10,000 tracts. You can figure out the price on that. Somebody's got to pay for that. Okay, and you look at how many tracts are out there. I'm just saying, if a lot is given to soul winning around here, as far as, and that, watch this. That's why if I were choosing a church, I would want to know how my tithe is spent. Was it used to buy a $10,000 shag sheer real zebra rug for the preacher's office? There's churches that they do that. I'm not real sure I want my tithe going to that. Now, I'm not... This is supposed to be a nice class. Okay, so everybody do something for me. Smile, okay? Okay, all right, here we go. Okay, breathe. Okay, here we go. Ready? here we go. People who do not tithe are God robbers. Malachi 3:8-10, watch this, says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into," here's that word again, "the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, this gets really kind of heavy. God says, if you do not tithe, you rob God. You are a God robber. Watch. If you ask a policeman, what is the difference between stealing and robbing? Stealing is if I... Okay, if I sneak it. But if I rob you, am I right, Brother Dooley? But if I rob you, I use an instrument of force. Doesn't have to be a gun. Could be. I use a stick. I use a gun. I use a whip. Whatever it is. But I use an instrument of force and I robbed you. God says, when you don't tithe and you don't... If you made $10 last week mowing lawns, you didn't give a dollar to God... God says you robbed him. You didn't steal it. You didn't sneak up and take it and sneak away. You said, give it to me or I'll hurt you. God says you robbed me. God uses just the right word. And I put a story in there. What would you think about someone who had nothing and a rich king comes by? That rich king has got a circle and they... Sometimes the coins would have holes in them. They'd have a hole in them and they'd put them on a ring. That king had 10 gold coins. He walks by this poor man on the side of the road and the beggar says, "I don't have anything, king. And I'm so hungry." King unhooks his ring, takes one coin off, hooks it back again, gives it to the man, starts to walk away. And the beggar says, "King, my wife doesn't have anything. My wife needs..." Unhooks his ring, takes off another coin, gives it to the beggar, starts to walk away. "King, my little daughter has nothing. We're so hungry. King comes back, he takes off. This happens until the king has one coin left. How many coins did he start with? 10. So if he has one, that means the man on the side of the street has 9. The king walks away and the
beggar sits there with 9 gold coins in his hands, and he said, if I could just have that one more coin. And he runs after the man, after the king, tackles him, beats him, and rips the ring with the last gold coin off of his belt and runs. What would you think of somebody like that? That's pretty sorry. God says, 1/10 of what you make is mine. It's holy, and we're going to get into that. But God says, if you don't tithe and you don't give a dollar out of every 10 you make, God says, you rob me. And then watch this. Here comes the stronger part. You're cursed. I know of people who've walked into preacher's office and they said, these are our finances. This is what our budget looks like. This is how much money we make. And honestly, we don't know what's going on here. And they were also coming to me, which is, preacher doesn't tell me what goes on in his office, but they were also coming to me. And they weren't telling him everything. They were telling me everything. But they weren't telling him. I took it to preacher. I said, preacher, I said, have you seen? I said, this is pretty, they're in a real bind. He called them in again, and he said, you know, it's almost like you're cursed. He said, are you tithing? This is what they said. Well, we've been putting our children's school money, when we pay our school bill, we count that as the tithe because it's more than the tithe. And he said, oh, that's what's wrong. You're using God's money to pay your school bill. You're robbing God. That's not tithing. And those people were in a real jam. They're out of that jam now. But somebody had to explain to them, when you pay your child's school bill, and it's $40 a week per child or whatever it is, that's not the tithe. That goes to pay the teachers. That doesn't go to the storehouse. That goes to the teacher, to the school. Now, that's important to understand, okay? But you have to understand, tithing, it comes to the storehouse. It's not, let me see, it's 20 miles to the church from my house. My car gets 15 miles to the gallon. Gas is right now about a dollar, let's round it off, $1.50 a gallon. Takes me a gallon and a quarter, $2 to get to church in gas. So, okay, all right. And I use part of my tithe for gas. You'd be surprised. I've seen people reason that. Okay, $2 off my tithe goes for gas money to get to church. Now, that's funny, okay? That is Christian thinking nowadays, because people aren't telling them, you bring the tithe to the storehouse. Okay, I went soul winning with a man. We had a beggar come up to us. Have him come up a lot. Nothing wrong with that. He said, sir, I'm hungry. Could you give me I need some money. He got ready to pull out his wallet. I said, don't do that. I said, come to the church. I said, I'll get you some food. You say, you're being cruel. Wait a second. I wasn't real sure that guy was going to spend the money on food. And I don't want my money being spent for cigarettes. And I don't want to support an alcoholic. I grabbed the man's arm and I said, no. I said, you come to the church. I said, and I'll give you food. Please, I need some money. I need some food. I said, I'll give you more food than you can carry home. Okay? I'll give you more food. You just come with me to the church. Come with me to the church and I'll feed you. I'll feed you any time of the day, 3 a.m. Just come to the church. The guy wouldn't listen to me. He pulled out his wallet anyways and gave the guy a $5 bill. We got in the car and I said, are you sure that guy's getting ready to go to McDonald's right now? He said, oh my goodness. I said, I wish you'd listen to me. Don't ever give money to people. I said, bring him to the church house. Okay? Bring him to the church house. Okay? I don't want to support somebody's drug habit. Okay? I don't want to be a part of that. Okay? Let's keep on going here. Jesus said every person should tithe, even lost people. This is interesting. If you think, you can think that we're talking to Christians. God says, whether you're lost or saved, if you tithe, God says the blessings for money, okay, for money come to you. Whether salvation has nothing to do with what I'm talking to you about right now. Salvation has nothing to do with this. A lost man that reads the Bible and runs his finances according to this book, he'll go to hell when he dies if he doesn't get saved, but he's blessed in the area of finances. Watch this.
Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Watch this. These ought you to have done. What? Paying tithe of mint and anise and cummin. Those were herbs. Those are things you got little bitty quantities of. He said, you're so careful, he said, to give a tithe of herbs. And you'll carefully weigh out how many grams those herbs were, and then you'll give a tenth. He said, but you totally omit judgment and mercy. He said, you should keep on tithing, but don't omit the weightier things, the things that are more important. Jesus told lost scribes and Pharisees to tithe. Salvation has nothing to do with this. Whether you're saved or lost doesn't have anything to do with it. This is something Jesus told lost people to do, and it's in the New Testament. Let's keep on going here. Give you another verse there. You can look at that. Same thing. It helps if you understand the next point. All wealth comes from God. All wealth comes from God. If you don't understand that, if you don't ever get a hold of that, you will never enjoy giving. Everything you have, everything, comes from God. Your bed, your house, your car, your clothes. God says, every breath, the breath you just took, God says, I hold it in my hand. The Bible says when he closes his hand, the creatures die. Then he opens it back up again and the Spirit gives life. Everything I have belongs to God. Watch this. Look at this next thing here. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that ye might that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. And then watch this, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God, I saved my money. I worked overtime for that money. I have labored and strove and sweated for that. God says, and I gave you the power to do that. I've met men in the hospital that were bedridden, sores on their bodies, so sick they couldn't work, that all the mind games the devil plays with a man that can't work. Tears streaming down their face saying, I wish I could just go to work. I wish I could just go to work. God says, I give you the power to get the wealth that you have. Now, wait a second. If you understand that, then you can walk through your house and you can look at all that you have. And you can say, God gave this to me. God gave this to me. This is God's. Everything I have is God's. Watch this. It says, Proverbs 3:9-12, honor thy father with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, I'm going to come back to that verse, but watch this. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. That verse 11 there says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise God's spanking. God spanks everybody. The Bible says there's no such thing as a Christian who's never been spanked. Okay? You've been saved any length of time, you're going to get spanked. Why? Because everybody does wrong. We're all sinners. Okay? But God says, make sure you don't get angry at God. I thought it was real interesting. Two verses on correction follow two verses on tithing and the blessings that come from it. God says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, here's what we have to define for those verses. What is increase? God says, I want the first fruits. I want the first fruits. In other words, when you get your paycheck, who gets the first take of it? Does God or the government? Someone says, wait a second. Now, let me see if I can explain this. Now, kids, hold on, okay, because you may not understand this. Okay, but hold on. Increase has to be either from nothing to something or from expense paid to profit. Increase is increase. It's from nothing to whatever. If I own a shop and it cost me $500 overhead and I made $800 that week and I cleared $300, I'm not just supposed to tithe off that $300. I made $800 that week. I'm supposed to tithe off the $800. I'm supposed to tithe off the $800. That's where I think a lot of people make mistakes too. The first fruits, all I increased. Every time I got my paycheck, I always cashed it. Then I went to the store, went to the cash checking part, got the cash from my paycheck, and then just moved the decimal point over before Uncle Sam got his, and then I always kept it in my wallet until Sunday. That tithe went right there, right in that part of my wallet. I didn't touch it. That was the first fruit. I got paid back then when I was welding. I got paid every week. And I didn't touch it. That was me giving God the first fruits of my increase for that week. It's neat here. Let's keep on going. All that you have was given to you by God, and I want to drive this home, because if you can just get a hold of this one thing, everything you have is given to you by God, and if you can get that, then you can be a cheerful giver. Matthew 25:15-28. I know this is a lot of verses, but watch. And unto you he gave. I tried to highlight some words to make this simple, but watch this. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and then watch, and reckoneth with them. The word reckon means to figure out the details. One day Jesus is coming and he's going to reckon with you. How did you use all the time I gave you? I want to know the details. How did you use all the talents that I gave you? Let's find out. Reckon all the details. How did you use all the money I gave you? I want to know all the details. I've often thought, I want to ask God, how many steps did I take in a lifetime? How many miles did I totally walk when it's all said and done? And I think God has all a lot more details than that. He's got just how much money I spent on pop. He's got just how much money I spent on others. He's also got it recorded. He's got all the details. And one day he's coming back and we're going to see him again. And he's going to reckon or figure out the details. Let's keep on going here. And reckoneth with them. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, watch this, Lord, thou deliverest. So he said, you gave this to me. Thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, and then I tried to underline it for you, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, and then watch what happens. Lord, I knew thee. His attitude's awful. Watch what he says to the Lord. I knew thee, that thou were a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. His attitude towards God and money were totally off. God, you're hard. You take what isn't yours. You're always asking me for something that's mine. You're a hard man. And his attitude towards God and money is way off. He said, you reap where you've never sowed. You take 1/10 of my money. Watch what he says. He says, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed.
Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He said, then why didn't you at least put it in a bank? He said, where it could have gained interest. If I'm so bad. What made the servant wicked and slothful was not the fact that he only had one talent to give. The guy just gained 7 more talents. He wasn't hurting on money. What caused him to be wicked and slothful was his attitude towards God and giving. His attitude. You're a hard man. You take what is yours. Wow. What a thing to say to God. Here we go. Let's keep on going. The tithe was a reminder that God gave them everything they had. Deuteronomy 14:22-23 says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks. Watch this. Why? That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. You know, every time you write a check or you pull out 10% of what you made that week, you know what it's supposed to remind you of? God gave me 10 times this week. God provided for me. It's not supposed to be a... It's supposed to be, wow! It's supposed to be, look at all that God gave me. And all he asks of me is a tithe. It's supposed to work that way. But if your thinking is such, this is my hard-earned money, nobody touches it, then you'll never give with a smile on your face if God didn't give you everything you have. God gave you everything you have, including your children. Here we go. Look at Luke. When Jesus was describing the virtues of a good man, when he told of the Pharisee and the publican, Jesus is painting a picture of a good man in Luke 18:10-13. Watch this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Then watch what he said. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Jesus is trying to get a picture of how a good man can die and go to hell, and a bad man can be saved and go to heaven. That's the picture. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The publican ends up getting saved. The Pharisee is sitting here praying, Lord, I tithe. And I'm sure he did. I fast. I go without food twice a week. I'm sure he did. Jesus said, a good man, that's one of the traits of a good man, is they tithe. They're honest. You live on God's earth, you breathe God's air, you drink God's water, and God says, the tithe or 10% of what you make is my rent money. God says, it's my rent. You owe me that. God says, I already said that's mine. Let's keep on going here, and we'll cover one more thing, and then we gotta close. God always gets what's His. We're going to cover this, and then we need to close here. But God, Leviticus 25:2-7, I want you to read this. You follow along with me. Watch this. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vineyard, for it is a year of rest unto the land. Do you get what God's saying? You can sow your fields and your vineyards for 6 years. You harvest them. And then he goes on to say, in the 6th year, I'll give you enough for the 7th year in that 6th year. He goes on to say, you read the whole thing. We haven't got time to read the whole thing. But he says, you plant your fields and you harvest for 6 years. On the 7th year, let it go. Don't touch it. That's mine. Give the land a rest. He goes on to say in Leviticus 26, verses 32-34, this is what's going to happen if you don't. Watch this. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it, and I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Watch this. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths,
as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy your Sabbath. The Jews were told, you plant for 6 years, seventh year. He said, let it rest. He said, don't do anything. He said, that sixth year, I'll give you enough for 2 years. But the prosperity and the materialism started getting to them, and in the sixth year, they'd come up with all this harvest. Wow! If we got that much this year, imagine how much we're going to get next year. And they use that to disobey God. And God says, watch, and then this is the moral of the story. You either let the land rest the seventh year, or I'll send you into captivity, and then the land will rest. And God did. God did. For 490 years, they disobeyed God. Divide 70 into 490, and you get 70. God says, the land will get every rest I told you to give it. That I told you to give it. You know what the moral of the story is? God always gets what's his. You either give... There's no such thing as somebody in here that lives off more than 90% of your income. Nobody does. Whether you tithe or not, God has all types of ways of collecting the tithe. Financial reversals, unexpected bills, car wrecks, hospital bills. God has... There's no such thing as somebody that doesn't tithe. God says, you either give it to me, or I'll take it. Or I'll take it. I find that in the Bible a lot. We haven't got all the time to cover this. But I hope this is a help. And if you can look through this, there's a lot in the Bible on money. There's a lot in the Bible on money. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this.